Drew and Timmy were brothers, and one day their parents gave them a list of jobs to do while the parents went grocery shopping. Clean your rooms, do the dishes, mow the lawn. When the parents returned, they saw that nothing had been done. Anybody ever have that experience? Any parent? Dad was obviously very upset, and he asked Drew a question. What have you been doing while we were gone? Drew said, nothing. Then he turned to Timmy and said, and what have you been doing, young man? And he said, I've been helping Drew. And that just goes to show that we don't have to do nothing and we can sin. I have to admit, I read Dear Abby. I do. I read the comics, and that's right by the comic section. So I read Dear Abby. Several years ago, a letter was written to Dear Abby, and the response to this letter shows the pervasiveness of sin. The letter read, Dear Abby, I'm 44, and I would like to meet a man my age with no bad habits. Abby responded, Dear Rose, so would I. I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning, if you have them, and turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. You remember last week, I began a two-part message, entitled, From Ruin to Righteousness. From Ruin to Righteousness. You remember that in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21, it's written to demonstrate, these verses are here to demonstrate the fact that one act of one man can have tremendous influence, can have great impact, in fact, on all of mankind. And we ended last week in verse 14. At the end of verse 14, it says that Adam, our original father, is a type of him who is to come, Jesus Christ. Adam is a type of Christ. Now, to kind of get the context again, let's go through verses 12 through 21. Look at your Bible. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For before the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam's offense, who is a type of him who is to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift of grace through the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. For the law came in that transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that, as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through in righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you see here, there's a comparison between Adam and Christ. Between Adam and Christ. And what we lost in Adam. And what we gain in Christ. And let me just say right now, this is exciting. We gained a lot more in Christ than we ever lost in Adam. We're going to see that today. But first of all, if you have your outline and your bulletin, in Adam, we have the ruin. The ruin. What happened through the one act of one man? And here it is, folks. First of all, sin entered the world. Verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world. It was through Adam's one act of disobedience that sin came into the world. And when sin came into the world, man's constitution, Adam's constitution was changed. He went from innocence to sinfulness. And this, and as we saw last week, sin then spread like a deadly virus. And because sin is in the world, there are sins in the world. Now I'll tell you what, this, I said this last week, but this is the easiest sermons to illustrate. Sins are in the world. Amen? Go home and take your academic journal. Just read. I mean, I've been looking, just the past week, and there's been things like L.A. arson suspect captured by police, murder suspect found and dead in National Park, children abducted. There's been the reports of murder, rape. There's sins in the world. And it came through the one act of one man. And not only is sin in the world, but because of one act of one man, sin reigns. Did you see that? Over in verse, I think it's 21. It says, so that as sin reigned in death. And the word reign, do you know what it means? It means to reign as a king. To reign as a king. And sin here is personified and refers to our nature, the totally depraved nature of the unsaved man that reigns as an absolute monarch in our being. That's what Scripture says. That sin reigns, absolute monarch. That is, that sin has affected every human being born of Adam. Every one of us, we're all sons of Adam and daughters of Eve. We all have a sin nature. Every descendant of Adam has a sin nature. Listen, from the point of conception. From the point of conception. And we are born in sin. Folks, we are not evil because we do evil. We do evil because we are evil. Amen. Jeremiah says it this way in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Through one act of one man, sin entered. And now sin reigns. You know what else entered? Death entered. Do you see it there in verse 12? As through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Death came in. Death entered. The moment man sinned, he was separated from God and died spiritually. And from that moment on, he began to die physically. He was dead in trespasses and sin. It says that from dust you have been taken, and dust you shall return. Now, I thought about that. I was thinking about this. And I thought a little story. Maybe you heard the story about the little boy who his mother was tucking him into bed. And every night before she would turn the lights off, she'd read him a portion of Scripture. And she was reading in Genesis chapter 3, where it says, to dust you, from dust you have been taken, to dust you will return. And she read that, and the little boy said, Mom, does that mean that man was made from dust? And she said, yeah, that's what it means. And that when man dies, He's going to turn into dust? And she said, that's what it means. And his eyes got real big, and he said, Mom, don't look under the bed, because there's somebody under there either coming or going. But I'm going to tell you, folks, it's true. Death entered through one act. And now death reigns. Did you see it? Death reigned, it says. Death reigned, verse 14. Ever since Adam sinned, the dynasty of death has reigned over all men. Again, this statistic doesn't lie. 100% of people die. Amen. And again, every time we pass a graveyard, every time we go to a funeral, every time we look in the obituaries, we can see, you know what? The dynasty of death is reigning. And it came by one act of one man. And through that, and death has a universal kingdom. And through that one act, judgment entered. Verse 16. For on one hand, judgment arose from one transgression. One transgression. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Judgment came. Judgment. By the way, there's no such thing as reincarnation. You know, you remember Shirley MacLaine? Remember the actress Shirley MacLaine? And she got involved in what was called the New Age movement. And she was out teaching, oh, yeah, there's reincarnation. She said, you know what? We just keep on going around until we get it right. She's wrong. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And not only did judgment come through the one act of one man, condemnation came. You see, on the one hand, judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in what? Condemnation. Condemnation. Now, folks, John 3:16. Most of you know that. I've got to say this. I was so excited this last week. Well, I was kind of disappointed and then excited. Tim Tebow. Know Tim Tebow? He beat the Steelers last week. Dan. He threw for what? 316 yards. And the next morning on the internet, Jeff, more hits. What was it you told me? Most searched thing on the internet the next morning was John 3:16. Anybody watch the game last night? The Broncos and the Patriots over by halftime. But I was excited because one of the commercials comes on, and what was it? Children saying John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Say it. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I was on TV. And then the little girl then goes, wow. So we go, wow. You know, that's great. John 3:16 is great. But you know what John 3:17 and 18 say? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And he who believes is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, where did that condemnation come from? One act of one man. Adam sinned, and the result was condemnation to all men. And outside of Christ, all are under condemnation. Now, how does this apply to us? Just a couple applications, and then we're going to move on to a lot better stuff. I mean, I think it's a lot better because it's about what we have in Christ. But a couple applications. First of all, I think this is a partial answer to the mystery of suffering. I don't know if you've ever asked, but people have asked me, if God is so good, why is there so much suffering in the world? The answer to that, why is there so much suffering? Because there's so much sin. Through sin entering into the world, through one man, and through sin coming in, came suffering, came disease, came starvation, came all these things, came death. It all came through the one act of one man. There's suffering in the world because there's sin in the world. And God is not the primary source of suffering. Man is. Sin is. So it's a partial answer. And I know suffering, it's a mystery. I don't have the answers to all that. I don't know anyone that does. But a partial answer is there's suffering in the world because there's sin in the world. A second application. Sin, folks, has disastrous consequences. Avoid it. Avoid it at all costs. The first lie was you can sin and get away with it. That's what the devil said. You will not die. You know, how can one little act of disobedience can't hurt much, can it? Oh my. You know, one little critical word can't hurt. One little look on a porn site can't hurt. One little lie can't hurt. Can it? Tell you what, it sure can. It sure can. There are consequences for sin. And if you don't believe me, ask Adam. You don't believe Adam, ask Achan. You know what? Just a little covetousness. 36 people died. The children of Israel were defeated. And Achan and his family lost their lives. You don't believe Achan? Ask David. One little act of adultery. And it led to all kinds of other sins. And you know what? From that moment on, a sword entered his house. And he suffered the consequences for that until the day he died. Sin has consequences. We should avoid it. Yeah, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but I'll tell you what the wages of sin is. Death has consequences. Another application here, and it's the same thing, but my sin, your sin, you know what? It affects other people. There's no such thing as a victimless sin. You can't sin in a bubble. Adam's sin, you know what? It's affected every one of us. And when we sin, it affects others around us. Parents. When we sin, grandparents. When we sin, it'll affect our children, our grandchildren. I'll tell you what, it does. Now, I believe, too, when we do right and when we act the way we're supposed to, praise God, I think that can have an effect also. Young people, teenagers, when you sin, it affects your parents. It affects your peers. But when you do right, that affects them too. So I'll tell you what, you can't sin in a bubble. Sin, our sin, affects others around us. And then the last application here on this section. Everyone here, one day, is going to die. Every one of us. Barring the return of Christ. If Christ comes back, praise God, we're going to go in the rapture if you're saved. But barring the return of Christ, every one of us is going to die. So you know what we need to do? Prepare. We need to prepare. Can you imagine going on a trip to Hawaii? Boy, can I imagine that today. I mean, a real trip to Hawaii. But packing no bags, making no reservations, getting no plane tickets, and, taking no clothes. You'd say, wait a second. You can't go to Hawaii. That would be foolish. to do that. You got to prepare. That's true. It'd be foolish. But you know what? Every one of us is going on a trip. We're going to eternity. How foolish it is not to prepare for that. And folks, you say, well, how do you prepare for that? Well, you make your reservation. How do I make my reservation? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. You get your ticket by believing in Christ, by realizing that he died for your sins and rose from the dead and putting your trust in him. Kind of like the woman that I met down in Fancy Gap, Virginia. We broke down, blew an engine, and had to stay in Fancy Gap, Virginia. And went to this hotel, and the woman owned a hotel there. I met her, and I started talking with her and found out she was a Christian. And she said, Pastor, let me tell you something. In the last 3 years, I've died twice on the operating table. My heart, I have a very bad heart. I've died twice on the operating table. She said, I could die at any time, but she said, I'm not afraid at all because I made my reservation. She said, I'm prayed up and packed up and ready to go. Are you? I'm going to tell you, folks, you can make preparations by coming to Christ. Well, what do we lose in Adam? What's the ruin? Through Adam's sin entered the world. Through Adam's one act, sin reigned. Through Adam's one act, death entered the world. Through Adam's one act, death reigned. Through Adam's one act, judgment came. Condemnation came. But now in Christ. And on your outline, there was a mistake made that's not in Adam. Cross that out. Cross that out. That we're not in Adam. We're in Christ. If you know the Lord, in Christ, from ruin to righteousness. From ruin to righteousness. And just a clarification here. Verse 12 says, just as. That's comparison. We're going to have a comparison here. Verse 14 says, listen, Adam is a type of him who's to come. Adam is a type of Christ. What? Adam? Adam, the sinner, a type of Christ? How is he type of Christ? Remember, here's the comparison. Through one man and one act, everybody's been affected. But also, through one act, one man, Jesus Christ, and the act, his death on the cross, all mankind is affected. That's the comparison. That's what we're going to see as we look at this. And you know what? We gain much more in Christ than we lost in Adam. The words much more, look at verse 15. And verse 15, you see, much more. Verse 17, much more. If we get much more. I was going to entitle this sermon. I first of all had it written down, From Ruin to Restoration. But it's not ruin to restoration. We're not just restored to what man was before the fall. We have much more than that. That's why I put ruin to righteousness. Now let's look at the comparison. First of all, through Adam's one act of disobedience, remember sin came in. Through Christ's act of obedience, righteousness came in. Verse 17 and verse 19 says, verse 17 says that the gift of righteousness. In verse 19, through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of one, many will be made righteous. When Adam sinned, he lost his innocence. But in Christ, we gain not innocence, we gain righteousness. We gain righteousness. We receive the gift of Christ's righteousness. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, God forgives our sin and sins, puts Christ's righteousness to our account, and he pronounces us righteous. Righteous. That's what our standing before God, if you're a Christian, you're righteous. You're just as righteous as Jesus Christ. Amen. Because it's his righteousness. We have much more than Adam lost. Verse 19, for as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even through one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient. Even obeying to death on the cross. That's the act of obedience. And through his death on the cross, he has declared, when we receive Christ, he declares us righteous. And then you know what he does? And we're going to see this, Lord willing, next week. He begins to make us righteous. We have the standing of righteousness, but he begins to make us righteous. And one day, praise God, when we get to heaven, we'll be perfectly righteous. And it's all because of what Jesus did on the cross. In Adam, sin entered. In Christ, righteousness comes. Secondly, through Adam's one act of disobedience, judgment came in. Through Christ's one act of obedience, grace came in. I shared with you this before, but in chapter 5 of Romans, the word grace appears more times in that chapter than any other chapter in all of Scripture. And in our verses, verse 15, verse 17, verse 20, verse 21, you find the word grace. Adam brought all mankind into judgment. Christ brings us into grace. Verse 15 says, much more did the grace of God and the gift of grace through the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And the grace is much more than the judgment. Much more than the judgment. The hymn goes, and I love the hymn, and you know it. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Sin and despair, like sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace. Amen. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. Someone says, you know what, but Pastor, you don't know what I did. You don't know what I did. God can never forgive me. I'm going to tell you, God's grace is greater than your sin. I had a man walk in here one day, never came to this church before, never came after. But afterwards he said, Pastor, I want to talk to you. He said, I think I've sinned and I don't think God could ever forgive me for the sin I did. And I said, well, share with me. He said, I murdered a man. And he was in the Gulf War. And he had taken an Iraqi prisoner, and on a dare from a couple of his army buddies, he shot him. So he was just sitting there, he's a young kid, 18 years old. And I don't think God could ever forgive me. You know what? God's grace is greater than that. Amen. You know, Moses murdered somebody. So did David. So did Paul, the Apostle Paul, greatest missionary ever, Christian. He murdered Christians. But you know what? Grace came through Jesus Christ. Yes, and it's greater than all our sin. Amen. There's no sin that anyone can commit that Jesus' grace can't forgive. It came through Jesus. One act. Through death on the cross. Through Adam, we have judgment. Through Jesus, we have grace. Through Adam, we have condemnation. Through Jesus, we have justification. You see it there? It's in verse 16. It says, for on the one hand, judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this movie. It was back a number of years ago. But the movie was entitled The Last Emperor. Anybody see that? It was an Academy Award winning movie. A couple people have. But in that movie, a young boy is anointed as the last emperor of China. And he lives a life of luxury, and he has 1,000 servants at his command. And one day, his brother comes and asks him, "What happens when you do wrong?" And the emperor answers, "When I do wrong, someone else is punished. Let me show you." And he takes a vase, and he lifts it up, and he drops it and breaks the vase. And one of his servants is beaten for it. Well, I'm going to tell you what, folks. Jesus reverses that ancient tradition. See, because when one of the servants mess up, that'd be us. The king is punished. You see, Jesus took our condemnation upon himself on the cross, that we might have justification in Jesus Christ. He took the condemnation so that now all those who are in Christ Jesus, therefore now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. In Adam we have condemnation. In Christ we have justification. In Adam we have death. In Christ we have eternal life. Do you see it there in verse 21? So that, it says, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Adam brought us death. Adam brought us death. Physical death. Spiritual death. Eternal death. But when you are in Christ, spiritually, you're no longer dead. You're reconnected with God, and you have spiritual life. Physical death? Does a Christian physically die? Well, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." I tell you, it's different for a Christian. We're just changing locations. You know, if you ever read in the paper, you ever read in the little bits, Pastor Les Sutherland dead, don't believe it. I'll be more alive then than I've ever been in my life. You see, Jesus has changed that. Eternal death? I'll tell you what, I'm not going to eternal death. The second death, I'm going to be with the Lord in heaven. See, Jesus changes the whole thing. If you are in Adam, you have death. If you are in Christ, you have eternal life. Wow! Just like that little girl said after John 3:16, wow! Now, application. The benefits of the cross are not automatic. The benefits of the cross come to us as a gift. Do you see it there? In verses 15, 16, and 17, look, there's a word repeated 5 times. It's the word gift. We just celebrated Christmas a couple weeks ago. I'll bet you every one of you got gifts. Anybody just get coal in their stocking? No, you got gifts. Any one of you still have gifts unwrapped? That you're just sitting there and you didn't unwrap them? You say, that's silly. You know, you get a gift, you unwrap it. You can't enjoy the gift unless you unwrap it and receive it and unwrap it. Today is a special day. It's my birthday. It's true. I'm not lying. But last night, I got some gifts. But when they gave me the gifts, I said, I'm not unwrapping those gifts. I'm not wrapping them, no. You kidding me? Give me that gift. And I unwrapped it. I got a jogging outfit, man. Wait, I might wear it next week. And I got a new coffee maker, and man. But you see, it was a gift. I had to receive it. I had to unwrap it and accept it. And you know what? It's the same with the benefits of Jesus. If you are going to move from sin to righteousness, from judgment to grace, from condemnation to justification, from death to life, you got to receive the gift. Yes. It's a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You receive the gift by trusting Christ and saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And when you do that, you move from it being in Adam to being in Christ, and all the benefits come to you in Christ. Now, I received an email back a number of months ago that I think describes this so beautifully. I read it, and I knew what I was going to be preaching. I said, I'm going to read that email. The email is entitled, Recall on Humans. Listen, the maker of all human beings, God, is recalling all units manufactured, regardless of make or year, due to a serious defect in the primary central component of the unit, specifically the heart and soul of each unit. This is due to a malfunction in the original prototype units, codenamed Adam and Eve, resulting in the reproduction of the same defect in all subsequent units. This defect has been technically termed subsequential internal non-morality, or as it is more commonly known, sin, a malfunction that is programmed into all these units from the moment of their earthly existence begins. Some of the symptoms include, 1, loss of direction. 2, foul vocal emissions. 3, amnesia of origin. 4, lack of peace and joy. 5, selfish or violent behavior. 6, depression or confusion in mental component. 7, fearfulness. 8, idolatry. 9, rebellion. However, on a good note, the manufacturer, who is neither liable nor at fault for this defect, is willing to provide factory authorized repair and service free of charge to correct the defect. The repair technician, Jesus, has most generously offered to bear the entire burden of the staggering cost of these repairs, so there is no additional fee required. The number to call for repair in all areas is PRAYER. Prayer. Once connected, please upload your burden of sin through the forgiveness and repentance procedures. Next, download atonement from the repair technician, Jesus, into the heart and soul component. No matter how big or small the sin defect is, once it is removed, Jesus will then graciously replace it at no additional cost with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. If you have any questions, please see the operating manual, the BIBLE, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, for further details on the use and applicability of these repairs. Warning, continuing to operate the human being unit without correction voids any manufacturer warranties, exposing the unit to dangers and problems too numerous to list, and will result in the human unit being permanently impounded upon the expiration of the unit. For free emergency service, call on Jesus. Danger. Those human being units not responding to this recall action will have to be scrapped in the furnace upon expiration, because the sin defect will not for any reason be permitted to enter heaven so as to prevent contamination of that facility. Thank you for your attention. P.S. Please assist wherever possible by notifying others of this important recall notice. And of course, please keep in mind that anyone may contact the Heavenly Father directly at any time, day or night, via email. Because He lives, God. In Adam, the ruin. In Christ, much more. Wow. Lord, we just bow before you. Thank you so much.